Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Lift every voice and sing till it then heaven rings. Rings with the harmonies of liberty.
Nice song. Lift every voice and sing. So here's the story. The NFL is going to play this song. It's commonly known as the Black National Anthem. Before every season opener. Jason Reed of ESPN reporting that. So what's going to happen is stadiums will have someone come out and perform Lift Every Voice and Sing. And then, of course, they're going to play the Star Spangled Banner.
After this song.
After this song. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the players respond, coaches respond to all of this. So I guess everybody's going to stand for this song.
Do they stand for this and then kneel for the Star Spangled Banner?
I would think you're going to have quite a few people, players, coaches. Billy O'Brien has already committed to kneeling for the national anthem. So you're going to have coaches as well when the national anthem comes on. But this is going to be played before every season opener. Now, the NFL is also considering other measures to recognize victims of police brutality during the upcoming season, according to Reed. The proposals include listing the names of victims on uniforms through helmet decals or jersey patches, an idea that would come in collaboration with the NFL Players Association, and they also may produce educational programs about the victims. So this is all in tune with what Roger Goodell admitted in the video last month, where he said we were wrong, we didn't listen to the players.
Well, the NBA is putting Black Lives Matter right in all the courts.
The NBA is, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And this, to me, you know, I get it, Lift Every Voice and Sing, Black National Anthem, but it seems to be putting more eyes on what happens before a football game than during it. You know, because, again, you are going to have a scenario where people will stand for this song, and then the minute the Star Spangled Banner comes on, they're going to kneel. So it's just putting more eyes on that whole situation, right?
Yes, so a majority of the players, matter of fact, it was very few players took a knee through the end of last season. But when they did take a knee, people would respond, right? They would say, hey, so-and-so took a knee or whatever. Are we going to have the opposite this year? Because I think a majority of the players are going to take a knee. Are we going to point out those who stand? Or, God forbid, if they stand and actually put the hand on their heart, are we going to call those people out?
Not as much as we'll call people out if they kneel during Lift Every Voice and Sing, which I don't think.
That's a good point. I wouldn't recommend that.
I don't think that will happen. I think that if you stand during the Star Spangled Banner, I think that you will want to, you know, you're right. You'll probably point guys that are standing during the Star Spangled Banner this year as opposed to what it was years ago, three, 4 years ago. And I think those guys will want to have the opportunity to explain why they are standing. And then that turns into, okay, I respect my teammates that are kneeling. Do you respect me if I'm standing? And hopefully everybody can respect their own opinions and why they're doing things and why things are passionate. And still, if I stand, I'm still supportive of the cause. I'm still supportive of, you know, Black Lives Matter. I still, you know, but I just, personally, I can't kneel for the Star Spangled Banner. I think you hear some of that.
Biggest problem I still have with all of this stuff is we're not calming down. Graffiti on other buildings and whatever, it's all symbolism. You know, we're out there, we're protesting, we're putting stuff on streets and whatever. What's getting resolved? Anything getting resolved? No. And so, is it going to get better? No, it's going to get worse because we're not working to resolve anything. We're sitting and taking sides. And then we're sitting there and coming up with some symbolism that people are going to look at. Symbolism. I mean, Mike Florio, last line of his column here. Of course, a team signing free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick likely would be seen as more of a show of faith than anything else the league can say or do. Yeah, because it's symbolic. That's what it is, because Colin Kaepernick's not going to go and start with an NFL team right now. He's going to be sitting on a bench. But I would agree with Mike. From a symbolic gesture, yes. People would sit there and say he's back on the sidelines. Mm. I wonder, though, eight games in, if the starting quarterback is not playing well, how many people are going to be screaming about, now you got to give Colin Kaepernick that starting job. But it's all about symbolism, and that's all we're doing here. And it's all well and good. I think the people that are jumping into action and trying to do something within the community, to me, those people deserve a lot more attention because those people are getting stuff done.
Colin Kaepernick signed a deal that Cam Newton did.
Oh, see, that's an interesting one. Had he signed that same deal, $550,000 guaranteed, what do you think most of the media, how they would portray that look?
I don't know.
I know they would portray it as, you got to be kidding me. They're Richard only going to give $550,000. People would be upset.
No, I think if he did, it would show that he first off wants to play in the league, you know, and then it'll be up to him. You know, because that contract that Cam Newton, like you said, some of the details, what was it, $1 million, 1.1 base, 550 guaranteed, $6.5 million incentives. And he actually, Cam Newton, went to Instagram today and tweeted out, it's not a lot of things money cannot buy, but amongst the top of that list of things, you would find respect as one of those. This is not about money. For me, it's about respect. And of course, the contract wasn't a big one. But for Cam Newton, it was about respect and, I think, opportunity, which is what he has.
Well, it's the only opportunity he apparently had. So if nobody else is willing to give you more than $550,000 guaranteed and the incentives are not a number of games played, he's got to have great numbers to be able to collect any of that. I would say it's not a good deal for him, but it gives him all the motivation in the world.
Sounds more like he probably needs more games, right? Numbers, not numbers, games.
The games played, the number was like, I want to say 60,000 a game. It was not much. 50,000 a game, it was not much. The bonus for games played, it was not much money.
Well, I mean, if it's 50,000 a game and he's playing 16 games, you know, that adds up to a lot of money.
That's still a low number when you consider that he's only got slightly over $1 million.
No, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's about performance, right? Because it's $6.5 million in bonus money. So if he gets 50 a game, you know.
Yeah, I would have to look up the number. It was not good. But listen, it is what it is right now. He's got nowhere else to go. And he's certainly going to be motivated and a chip on his shoulder. Now, I still think there's going to be competition. I know most people are looking at the name value because he certainly has a big name. He's been a very good player through a good deal of the 9 years. You know, he's had a lot of injuries, a lot of three surgeries, but he's had some moments, and he was the MVP in 2015, which was his best year, and that team went 15-1. They lost in the Super Bowl, and we know what happened in the Super Bowl. But to me, he's got to revive his career. The only way to do it is you're going to have to get out there on the field. But I think it could very well, because of the deal, be a situation where he comes in and tries out. He's challenged by Jarrett Stidham. And if he doesn't beat out Jarrett Stidham, now I give it to you, Lou, from a talent standpoint, from an experience standpoint, he should beat out Jarrett Stidham. I think it's far from a guarantee, though. I really do.
You think Stidham's really good.
And if he doesn't beat out Jarrett Stidham, is he going to sit and ride the bench for $1 million for the entire season? Because now he's not seeing money any of those incentives. And even worse for him, he's not giving the opportunity to audition for other teams so other teams can see what he's like. And when he's a free agent at the end of 2020, he can go to the free agent.
If he loses out to Jarrett Stidham, number one, it tells me that Stidham's, I'll finally see it. I'll finally see that he's good, you know, and it won't, you know, won't be blind faith anymore. It'll be, okay, I see the kid's pretty good. And I don't see Cam Newton sticking around, you know, and price-wise, I think the Patriots would love for Cam Newton to say, you know what, I'll stick around, but I don't know why he would. You know, I don't. And if anything, it'd be like a nice little, maybe get a little something for him. I don't know, maybe a team's interested, maybe you'd make a trade in camp or whatever it is, you know, before the season starts because you think Stidham can beat him out. But I don't even know what the percentage is. 5% chance Stidham could beat him out, you know, based on talent. Like, I don't see it. I don't see a chance. And if you think that Stidham can beat out Cam Newton, then you have blind faith and you have based it off, you know, reports saying that the Patriots love him and like him, which I think they do. But I think it's impossible to think that, you know, with your own eyes, that Jarrett Stidham could beat out a healthy Cam Newton. Impossible. You're just going on.
I don't think it's impossible. I really don't think it's impossible. I think if you're the New England Patriots, ideally what you want out of this is, and listen, maybe part of Bill's reasoning on this is he's got no risk in this thing. So if it doesn't work out, he loses nothing. Maybe Cam Newton comes in and Stidham is a total failure and can't handle the pressure. And Newton, because he's playing for great motivation and for a new contract, which I'm not sure Bill's going to necessarily pay him at the end of the year, but he gets a great year out of him. Bill gets something out of it. On the other hand, I think it also may be he would like to push Jarrett Stidham. You know, Bill's not shy about doing that.
I think he gets both. I think what he does is he gets a starting quarterback in the room. He gets an adult in the room. And I think Hoyer's an adult, but he's not a starting quarterback in the league. So what he does is he gets a starter, and he buys himself a little bit of time because as much as they like Jarrett Stidham, they don't know what the hell he is. They don't know if he can play. They like him, but they're basing it off batting practice. You know, he looks good in camp against guys that probably got cut anyways. So it's with the offseason that we had, it really killed the kid. It really did. You know, he's got half a year in. He's got 1 year in. He's been a backup. This offseason was going to be huge for young players. He never had that opportunity. The most important thing for him is going to be reps. He lost that opportunity. So Bill gets what he wants. He gets a starting quarterback in this league, someone that can transition beautifully to Tom Brady, because Cam's like Brady down in Tampa. He's out to prove something. You know, an organization gave up on him. He has been humbled. He is motivated. He's not thinking about replacing the greatest quarterback of all time. He's thinking about proving people wrong, especially out in Carolina or all these other teams that weren't interested in him. So he doesn't have that hanging over his head to replace the greatest quarterback of all time. And I don't know any other quarterback could come here and not have that hanging over their head.
So do you believe there's a real competition? That Bill Belichick has said, you don't think there's a real competition? Think Bill is looking at it saying, Cam Newton is my starting quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's going to say the competition. He'll even include Hoyer in the competition. But
he'll say it, yeah.
But no, he brought Cam Newton in here to be a starter and to buy some time and try to see see more of Jarrett Stidham. And, hey, maybe by the end of the year, he's seen enough. He doesn't like what Cam's doing, or Cam gets hurt. And then maybe he goes to Stidham, which might be the best-case scenario because you find out what you have in the kid. But, no, I don't think you're bringing Cam Newton in. And, you know, if you bring him in, you think he's healthy? You think he can play at the level that he's accustomed to playing? No, I don't think Bill thinks he's much of a competition at all. He knows it's Cam's job to lose, and he hopes he keeps it, and he hopes he sees some of the fight in the kid.
Yeah, I don't think Belichick's thinking any of that. And I think in the offseason, based on his moves or lack thereof, he looked at it and said that he felt that Jarrett Stidham was going to get in some way pushed by Brian Hoyer. No, I don't know how that was going to happen, but I think he was thinking that. And he thought that Stidham was his guy. Now, Cam Newton just fell in his lap. I would love to give Bill credit. You know, I think the guy's pretty good his job. I think he's been pretty good over the years. Not bad.
Works for a while.
Pretty good. And I'm not going to give him any credit for this one at all. This one just fell in his lap because you had 31 other team general managers that just passed on it. So here are the numbers in the contract. It's $1,050,000, but only $550,000 is guaranteed. And he gets $43,750 per game roster bonus. But that's
how much
only
per game?
$43,750.
Yeah, that's not much.
So that is only $700,000 for the season. That puts him at $1.7 million for the season. He literally has to get statistics, has to hit milestones to earn $5.75 million. And so if you're Cam Newton and you're not playing and you don't have that opportunity and you get beat out, Tommy Curran said this the other day. The Patriots believe his sources are telling him Cam Newton's all in for this. He's in it for the long haul. I don't see how he can be in it for the long haul. Makes no sense.
From everything I'm hearing, he's in it for the long haul. Even if he gets beat out by Jarrett Stidham, he's going to want to stick around and see this thing through. And I think there's a lot of upside to that.
Well, we got Lombardi, right? He talked about it in his GM podcast. Teams passing up on him. And I've told you before, I don't think 31 teams are interested in bringing in a starting quarterback. I think early on in free agency, Cam wanted a lot of money. Things closed up. Teams looking for backups.
You think Bill guaranteed starting position for Cam Newton?
They think the teams are looking for backups. Cam doesn't fit in that mold. So they went elsewhere because they needed a quarterback room, and they couldn't afford to wait for Cam. I think other teams were happy with what they got. There was another factor that I forgot about that Mike Lombardi brings up in his GM podcast, and that GMs, sometimes they're just idiots.
He's in a completely different environment, a completely different situation, and his talents, if he's healthy, which I think he is, it's going to rise. And he's in the right framework too, AD. I mean, he's in the right frame of mind to dominate. He wants to prove to all these people, how stupid are you? Ryan Pace, pay attention. You're a dumb You know, David Blaine Caldwell, you're really a dumbass, you know, because if you don't sign me, you know, Anthony Lynn, Tom Telesco, you stay with Tyrod Taylor and you don't sign me. Huh? Seriously? I mean, it's really comical.
Yeah. And I think that
it's nothing better than F-bomb,
well.
Mike.
I mean, there's a lot of stupid teams out there that just, yeah, I don't want to bring Cam in for many, many reasons. Many reasons.
So how do we give Bill credit then if 31 other teams are stupid and Bill's giving him a deal that is reminiscent of a third string quarterback?
Well, number one,
a guy that's going to be on a practice squad.
That's all they could afford. Yeah, he knew the situation.
Oh, they could afford a contract. More. They could open up more money.
Well, they can't.
Sure they can.
Well,
you can redo deals to open up money. They do it all the time.
With given what's going on in COVID, you don't know what the salary cap is next year. How willing do you think you're going to be to push money forward into next year or the year after or whatever it might be?
Well, with some of the players on that team, there are guys that you could clearly do it to that you know are going to be part of your team next year.
Well, I think it's harder than you think. Tommy Curran wrote an article today about Stephon Gilmore and his cap the next couple of years and how difficult it is given COVID and salary cap in the future. What do you do with this guy? And I think they factor that in. And there's only been, I think, three contracts redone. You know, basically, I think since the beginning of March. Patrick Chung was actually one of them. Only three. I think there's a reason. Because teams aren't doing redoing deals. They don't know what the future holds. So I don't think that's as easy as you think. But, you know, I just look at some teams and Bill kind of monitoring the whole situation. They touched base early on in free agency. They monitored the situation. He knew there were some guys there. He didn't see many homes for this guy and realized that he's got the best home for him. And I think Cam realized it as
not
well.
So I think there's
plenty of reasons.
There's no way that Bill Belichick looked at the money that he was able to pay, this $1.05 million with $550 guaranteed, and sat around for three freaking months and said, we'll just wait until the end. We'll get him in the end. No freaking way. He knew that Jarrett Stidham was going to be the guy. And yes, if Newton fell on his lap, why not? If we can bring another good player, maybe he's better than Stidham. Maybe he can be the guy for us, at least for this year. Maybe he can be the bridge. He would do it. I'd love to give Bill Belichick credit for this. It dropped on his lap. Yeah. It dropped on his lap. He didn't go out of his way to push it, to try to work it out.
It's classic Bill. He didn't have to. He knew it was going to come to him. I mean, he just saw the way it was unfolding. You know, you always talk about, like, Cam Newton, all these other teams passed on him. If he's so good and they thought their quarterback, he was better than I think a lot of teams look at Cam Newton and say, right now he is probably better than our quarterback. But for whatever reason, we're going to stick with our guy. Well,
then you're stupid.
We see, this is stupid. I mean, who do you think is a better quarterback, he or Phillip Rivers? Why didn't he go with Philip Rivers and not Tom Brady?
Philip Rivers, I would not dispute Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is a legitimate quarterback. If
is
we're going to talk
Philip
Rivers versus Cam Newton, we're talking legitimate.
Oh, is he better than Tom Brady? Because they could have had Brady. I was shocked they had no interest in Brady. They went with Philip Rivers.
Well, because he could get him for 1 year, Lou, yep. as opposed to two and tying up $50 million. And the second part of it is the head coach and the offensive coordinator both coached Philip Rivers in the past. It's plug and play. We know he can play our system.
Well, Tom Brady is different. Tom Brady better than Ryan Tannehill?
Is he better than Ryan Tannehill? I think that was a mistake. And I think it's going to be proven to be a mistake. I think Vrabel's going to learn that. You put the faith, and Miami did this one time, put the faith in Ryan Tannehill because he's the ultimate tease. He'll tease you, make you think he knows
what
he's doing.
A mistake. What
and
about,
then you give him the money. Good luck.
What about Teddy Bridgewater? Is Brady better than Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes, I believe he is.
So why didn't Carolina sign Tom Brady?
I have no idea why. Why did Carolina let Cam Newton go? That was stupid.
So I'm giving you examples
for
of why
Teddy Bridgewater
teams
and
decided...
I'm
giving you examples
million.
On why teams decided not to sign Tom Brady.
No, I think they were...
I've also given you examples why teams don't sign Cam Newton. So what's the difference? I mean, only one team offered a contract to Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time.
They offered him.
Only one team offered
him
a contract.
That's not true.
Teams were interested, how many teams signed?
Thank you very much. Other teams are interested.
Yeah.
One team came up with $50 million, and that put everybody out of the market.
Well, only one team made an offer.
But why did they have to put $50 million guaranteed on the table?
Because
other teams would have taken them.
Yeah, that's what he was looking
for. Other teams would have taken
him. In March, Cam Newton was looking for $1 million.
Lou, this guy's getting $550,000 guaranteed. That's it. Not a single team came forward and said, hey, Cam, we'll give you a shot. We'll give you $5 million. We'll give you $6
million.
None of them.
What if Cam wanted 3 years, $55 million, 30 guaranteed, March?
He might have at the beginning of the process.
Okay,
but 90 days later, you're telling me that was part of the negotiation?
Would that be the reason why people would pass on Cam Newton?
Up front, but you but
just
like anything else,
question.
Things change.
But okay, just answer that. So, yes, that is why people pass on Cam. So what are they going to do? They're going to just wait it out?
You're not
or are they
going to
just go and sign their other quarterback that they have on their radar for a lot cheaper they think might be a better fit a fit?
You're not making any sense.
I think I'm making perfect
sense.
When it
got down to $550,000 guaranteed, you don't think his agent made calls elsewhere around the league? Trying to see if somebody would come up with $3 million, $4 million, $5 million?
I think the teams around the league sit there and said, he's not a good fit for us right now.
How about a deal?
As much as we'd like the player, he's just not a good fit for us.
For more than $550,000 guaranteed? And by the way.
No, I don't
think. And by the way, his agent.
Do you think that Andy Reid was like, yeah, he's a good fit for us. Let's bring him in. You think Pete Carroll said, yeah, sure.
Lou, his agent.
You think Green Bay said, I mean, for $500,000, why wouldn't I bring in Cam Newton? Why didn't they do it?
There are a bunch of teams that would.
How about New Orleans?
Chicago, Denver,
the
Chargers. I can go through a bunch of teams. Jacksonville. There are a bunch of teams that could have brought him in. But the amazing part is his agent didn't even have the power. It didn't even have the power in the negotiation to be able to say, you can't franchise us next year. I was shocked to see that. Weren't you?
Well, honestly, if I'm his agent, I say, Cam, I mean, you want to give him an opportunity? I mean, if things go well here, they can bring you back. If they do, it's going to be for $27, $28 million.
At age 32, when it's the last contract you can get, why you need to go back to the free agent market and get a multi-year deal at 32.
How much money do you think he's going to get guaranteed for 3 years if he signs an amazing contract with the team?
Well, let's look at Teddy Bridgewater. So let's say he goes out and has a good season with the New England Patriots. Teddy Bridgewater got 3 years and $64 million.
How much guaranteed?
I believe 50 of it is guaranteed. 48 or something like that. So he could get a deal like that. Listen, Lou, he had no clout. He had no power. He probably didn't want them to be able to the franchise tag. But they had no clout to do it. Which I agree with you. 31 other teams were dumb. I don't understand. I'm not trying to put Cam Newton down because I think 31 other teams, he could have helped some of those teams. They were stupid. And maybe he turns out to be a gem here for New England, but he fell in their lap. He fell in their lap.
No. I would say that Teddy Bridgewater was 33 guaranteed.
I thought it was higher than that.
It's 33 guaranteed. So, if you sign an amazing contract and get 33 guaranteed, or stay here and make 28 guaranteed, I mean, is that really that bad of a
situation?
Yeah,
because you're up another year of your career. You've also had lots of injuries. So what you want is you want the multi-year contract at that point. And you can get more out of another team.
I get it, but we all admit that
the
most important part is guaranteed money, correct? So Teddy Bridgewater got 33, not 48, because that really skews the whole thing. 33 guaranteed versus, say, 28 in a salary cap. Is that really something you're going to... You know, the team wants to bring you in. We want to be able to franchise tag you for $27, $28 million. Well, you could go out and get this huge deal that Bridgewater got for 33 guaranteed, Cam.
Is he better than Teddy Bridgewater?
If he has a good year? Yeah, sure.
That's the point. So he's got to go on the concept that he's going to have a good year.
I don't think you get caught up in that because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money either way. So, you know, I wouldn't get caught up in that.
Well, he had no power to do anything about it.
I think Bill Belichick is great at reading free agency, the market. We've seen it before with many guys. You know, we told Julian Edelman to go out there and see what he could sign. Nobody offered him a contract, so he came back. Does that mean that, you know, that he sucks or he just didn't fit other teams? Like, you know, I think that, and I've been through this, you know, you start looking at teams and saying, what's a good fit? And sometimes you're amazed and you're like, ah, no, that's not it. And it really comes down to just like Brady, you know, and people are talking about half the league is interested. Really, there was probably three or four teams where he could have fit, and realistically, right. Maybe only two.
Right.
So it's like, so but realistically, what is, you know, so you admit that, but yet when it comes to Cam, you open the door to 31 other teams.
Yeah,
I don't think it's even close to 31 other teams. You could argue that maybe there was four or five, and they closed up.
The reason you can get 2 years and $50 million guaranteed is because you have other suitors, because I can walk away from that deal with Tampa because somebody else will give me money. Maybe not 50, but they'll give me money. In this deal is, as Richard Sherman called it, ridiculous and disgusting. For a superstar, I have never seen, this guy was an MVP. He went to a Super Bowl. I have never seen anything as bad as this deal. Where a guy ends up doing it, and he's only 31, not 38, not 43, 31. And the reason the deal is so bad, nobody else was willing to give him a dime. Nobody was willing to even give him $550,000 guaranteed. That's got to be a red flag, or there are 31 of the dumbest effing general managers in all of sports. Right.
You're bringing up 31. I don't know why you keep bringing up 31.
Because that's the number.
So you think Kansas City is the dumbest GM in the history of the world for not bringing in Cam Newton?
No, but there are a bunch of them that were. Okay. So there were five or six of them that were.
How about Seattle? You think Seattle's stupid? We're down to 30. Is Seattle's GM dumb? Is Green Bay's GM dumb?
But you know I'm saying 31 because there are 31 teams.
You keep saying 31. I keep asking you to stop saying 31, but you keep saying 31. You know it's not 31.
Okay, so but there are...
You know it's probably four or five.
Right. That's all you need. But he had none. Hold on. He had none. He fell into Bill Belichick's lap.
And Bill knew.
Again, I'm impressed that you're saying all these wonderful things about Bill.
I'm impressed.
Now Bill understands free agency, and you're saying all these great things about Bill. I like this. This is the new Lou Maloney. But in this case, I'm not going
to
give Bill credit. This fellow is
like ball washing usually, so I'm on that side most of the time. I can't believe you're not giving him enough credit.
Ball washing today, I think, with Bill. This one fell in his lap. I mean, this is unbelievable. $550,000, that's all I have to guarantee. And we can bring in Cam Newton. I think it's unbelievable. Mike is in Rhode Island. Next up here on OMF.
Happy 4th, boys.
Same to you, Mike.
Early, but, yep. Hey, guys, I was, and I've called you a couple of times recently. I was dead set against it. I mentioned the fumble. But business-wise, what a shrewd move. What a shrewd move. I mean, here's my thing. You have the opportunity, and bear with me, because I'm not saying a trick. Use Cam Newton as a trick play guy. That's not my take. Worst case scenario, we can't get in the red zone. Say Stidham wins it. You don't. They will have a role for him. And
what do you mean wins it? Say Stidham is the starter.
Just say Stidham is the starter. Let's go Tommy Curran's take that, you know. A resume of a ring.
All right,
he will have a pot to do. I think their roster is loaded. I think their defense can take them a long way. I think they're hungry. I think this kid could be hungry.
And I really think that the packages that they could send out.
You didn't like this deal 2 weeks ago, Mike.
I didn't.
You called and complained. You did not want the guy.
I reserved the right to change my mind.
No, I know what happened. I know what happened. You're a Patriots fan. And suddenly, the laundry worked for you. And I get it. That's fine.
Don't do that to me, Glenn.
But that's what you did. Which is fine. Well, I don't have a problem with it, Mike. It is what fans, it's what we do as fans. I get it. I understand it. But what happened to all of those things that were wrong about Cam Newton? We're going to suddenly dismiss them all now. Like they don't exist anymore.
No, absolutely not. Let's give this guy a chance on his professional pride to see what he's made of. Because the money is ancillary to this kid's, I mean, let's face it, he's the number one guy as far as media, boom, boom, boom. And to his what I'm trying to say, Glenn, is his promotion, his advertising. Brady didn't do any of it until maybe 8 to 10 years into his career. This kid could get back with the Wheaties and get back with the, you know, Main Street, Park Avenue here.
It's
a package, Glenn.
Okay. At least you were honest. At least you were honest.
I'm trying to bring a lot of stuff on, but I do believe let's give McDaniels, let's give him a shot. You got the opportunity to have three quarterbacks on the field at one time. Julian, obviously, you all know that.
I can't.
Mike is the perfect caller because Mike is, it's like Fitzy. It's like Jerry Thorne. It's like the others, and they're all writing now about how they love Cam Newton. None of them were saying this 2-3 weeks ago. They were dismissing it.
I told you, they had fallen in love with Stidham.
They were dismissing it all.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Cam Newton can't come here, because if he's motivated and he's healthy, there's a skill there. He could do something, and he could be good here. I'm not denying that. But how do we not look at all of the other question marks with Cam Newton? How are they suddenly disappeared?
They're not.
I mean, this guy brought up the fumble.
No,
he didn't jump on the fumble, and now suddenly
we're not worried about that.
Now he's in a Patriot uniform.
Sometimes I would rather know the faults of someone than not know a guy at all. So I look at Cam Newton, and I'm like, you know, listen, I wanted him here for 3 weeks. I mean, for 3 months.
You did. Give you credit. You did.
And he's here. I'm not saying he's the perfect quarterback. Of course he's been inaccurate. You know, throws on his back foot, all the stuff that everybody knows about Cam Newton. And maybe he does take a beating at some point. But at least I know what he is. This thought that, you know, that if healthy, this complete unknown who's looked good in batting practice, that we don't know if he's injury prone.
They loved
him. We don't know if he's inaccurate.
This guy, Mike,
we don't know what he's like in the fourth quarter of games, or if he would fall in a fumble in the Super Bowl. We don't even know if he'd ever get to a Super Bowl. We don't know how he'd react in that situation yet. For the love of God, people, again, Bill, when it came to Stidham and the local media and the fan base, it was like, you know, he did. He put the bowl of poop in front of your face and said, this tastes really good.
Yeah, but they've already flipped on
you. You ate it and said, wow, Bill's right. This tastes good. And then he signed Cam Newton, and he looked at you and said, why are you eating poop?
That's good.
And he's like, I don't know. He's like, you know what it is, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, I mean, yeah, it's...
But they've already flipped. The Patriot fan has already flipped on Stidham. Okay? They've already flipped. That's,
you've got
past,
the Patriot
that's the old
fan,
girlfriend.
And then you've got the whatever Bill tells you
fan. They had no idea
fan.
Who he was, and they fell in love with
yeah.
him.
Yeah. So you've got, you know, whatever uniform it is and whatever Bill tells you it is. So...
To me, there's still a lot of concerns with Cam Newton. Now, would I take him for the money that they're paying him? Absolutely. Why not? You got nothing to lose in this great upside. In the same respect that we had this conversation a couple months ago, and we were talking about Jameis Winston, and Lou asked me the question, would you bring in Jameis Winston at veteran minimum right now? That's what New Orleans ended up doing. Absolutely, I would, because I've got nothing to lose, because I don't know what Stidham is. But this flip now where suddenly... The fan base that was totally against Cam Newton 2 weeks ago, now when Bill brings him in here, it's this great move by Bill, even though it just dropped on his lap because the other teams were too stupid or didn't think he could still play. They've totally flipped now. Like, Cam Newton is great, and this guy took a shot at Tom Brady as well. They're all taking pot shots at Tom Brady now that Cam Newton is here. This is amazing to me. All right, we get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937 coming up next.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
Everybody applaud me on Twitter. Yeah.
It's OMF on WEEI.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the notion that they can pull this off. And I know money is the driving force, and they will do everything they possibly can to make it happen. But I think what we know about the virus, and maybe 99% of these guys, they get it, and it doesn't cause any long-term, or they're asymptomatic, and it's all... But at some point, some team, it's going to rip through their quarterback room. And it's going to rip through their offensive line. And maybe it happens on the same week. How are you playing? And as I was saying before, the, you know, the 99%. Well, what happens if there's that one guy that gets really sick? You know, I saw there was a statistical analysis done of college football. And someone predicted between 3 and 7 deaths in college football because of the COVID.
NFL Network's Mike Giardi on with the Greg Hill Show this morning. And you can hear it. There's a lot more negativity about whether we're going to start a National Football League season. So the NFL has already blown off 2 of the preseason games, Game 1, Game 4. NFL Players Association is not crazy about playing those other two. Adam Schefter just 10 minutes ago tweeting this out, in an effort to combat COVID-19, NFL teams are likely to bring fewer than the regular 90 players they ordinarily bring to training camp, per league sources. One source is predicting 80 per team, another 75, but no one is expecting 90. It's got more coming up on ESPN. So you're hearing a lot of negativity. You're hearing a lot of fear of COVID-19. And the more and more, Lou, and we did it with baseball. We ran down the protocol, and the NFL hasn't done that yet. But the protocol and how the game's going to be played, you look at football and you say, how the hell are they going to do it? So you can distance yourself all you want. You can play the safety game. You can have separate meetings. You can do a lot of that now with virtual stuff. But when you get out on the football field, it's offensive linemen lining up, hand in the dirt, defensive linemen 2-3 feet across the way, and breath going back and forth and carrying. How do you do it?
The NFL is going to, it's going to be just as hard for the NFL as anybody else. And I know we had these discussions in March and April, and this thought, because they had the draft and free agency, that the NFL can plow through it. Not a chance in hell. They just didn't have to even discuss it at that point. They were waiting to see what these other leagues were doing. We know how hard it is for these other leagues to get up and running. And now it's their sort of turn at the table. And I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to hear the NFL, the owners, asking for players to give money back. And we'll see if that ever happens. But it'll be very similar. Now that they're getting closer.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we'll see. Now that they're getting closer. I think you're starting to realize how difficult this is going to be. You know, NFL players, we'd mentioned the other day, offensive linemen, interior defensive linemen, big boys, 385. I think they want to get COVID, you know, and the fact that, I don't know, they're going to keep the same schedule? Like, part of this plan, we don't know anything really about the NFL right now. But remember, the New England Patriots are supposed to go out to L.A. and play back-to-back weeks.
10 days, probably be out there. Yeah.
In L.A. for 10 days. Like, at least baseball was like, we're just going to limit travel in the East Coast. I think that's going to be extremely hard. These guys aren't even limiting travel. Like, is there going to be a new NFL schedule? How the hell do you do it regionalized in the NFL? So I think there's a ton of challenges for that league, for baseball as well, because you can't do a bubble format with those leagues. I just don't think you can. You know, in baseball, I don't know if it's feasible. So I think the worst is yet to come for the NFL. And unfortunately, that would be, you know, you're sitting there saying, you know, baseball, hockey, basketball. I think hockey will have a good chance. Still, best chance. But imagine a year with no NFL.
I think it's possible. I mean, I really do. We had Linda Cohen from ESPN on in the last hour. And we asked her about sports and whether they'd go through an entire season and finish in the NFL.
Will we get sports back? I'm hoping we do. Here's what I think, and I hope this doesn't happen. I think the NBA and the NHL will start up. I just don't know if they're going to finish. If you ask me which of our major professional sports leagues, same with MLB, by the way, I don't think it's going to finish. If you ask me which of the four has the best shot of starting and finishing, has to be the NFL. A, they start later, so the calendar works in their favor. B, they've already cut down the preseason games to two. I think they should get rid of all of them. And three, they have an ability to delay the season and still have a Super Bowl in March. So I think if we were betting people, the odds are good that the NFL can make this happen. Of course, keeping everyone healthy and still keeping fans out of their seats.
Yeah, there will be no fans in the seats, even though we hear Pittsburgh and other teams are talking about it.
But the thing with the NFL, you know, they got another issue to deal with. All of these leagues that are trying to start up right now, it's a race to get it done before this so-called second wave hits. Right? So if they're able to get it done, which I think is going to be extremely difficult for all of these leagues, and the NFL tries to start up, you know, in September, like they are facing, I mean, just uphill battle, if you ask me, October, November, December. I mean, regular flu season, people are going to lose their ever-loving minds. You know, I think I've got COVID. Well, you might have the flu. You know, you just get sick more in the winter. And the reaction that's going to cause. So I don't agree with Linda. I actually think hockey's the best chance. I think you're going to be in Toronto. You're going to be in Edmonton. Just the players themselves, discipline, just go play hockey. The sport itself, you're wearing gloves. You got masks. You got shields. You don't touch the puck, the ball, you know, with your hands like these other sports do. You hit each other.
You're in Canada.
I mean, well, Canada, but I'm just talking about the sport in general.
Yeah.
Has a much better chance of executing this than these other sports.
Now, you're already wearing, as you said, the shield, the mask. I also think the fact that they're in Canada may help them out because so much of this is politicized.
Still an American sport. States. It won't matter. It's not like people are going to say, oh, they're in Canada, forget about hockey. If there's an outbreak, people will lose their minds in this country.
If there's an outbreak out there, we'll probably go right back to it again. But I'm not worried about the financial issue invading the NFL the way it did in MLB because it's all revenue sharing. So the owners, all they have to do is say, okay, we only brought in this much money. So next year, the individual cap number for each team goes down from $210 million down to $160 million or something like that. So they're in control of it, and it's all a revenue sharing. So they don't have to worry about that. But all of this other stuff, I mean, not bringing 90 players. I mean, if you're Bill Belichick, how do you feel about that right now? Because he's a guy that probably has some players in the last few years who on his roster when they opened up camp were somewhere between 80 and 90, and they ended up making the team. So there are some legitimate players that you may start saying, I'm sorry, I don't have the time to sit and evaluate and see if this guy is good enough to make our football team. And what does that do to some football players out there, Lou, who really had an opportunity to make an NFL team?
Yeah, and
they just didn't have the time to show it.
That's where I think Bill has always talked how important these extra
games
are. And for him, maybe, you know, just as much as anybody else, but let's face it, he's had a lot of success with undrafted free agents who not only make his roster,
nice
but have huge impacts.
About Bill.
Wow. Huge impacts on the team. So, you know, what? Two less games is two less opportunities to find someone that could impact your team in a positive way. Then you start looking at that Schefter tweet. You're not bringing in 90 players? This is one source, 80 per team for camp. Another said 75, but no one is expecting 90.
That's a big jump.
So part of that, unfortunately, might, you know, the two less preseason games might play a role into that. Like, listen, I could bring in 90, but I just can't possibly get a look at these guys the way camp is going to be. So I need to get a better look at 75 or 80, you know, because 90, it's just you're going to get people are going to be lost. So, yeah, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, we say this all the time, and even more so in the last few years. But we've constantly talked about the first couple games of the NFL are not real good because those preseason games are not real good. So then we've gone through the last few years where a lot of coaches are holding back their starting players, their frontline players from playing in the preseason, protecting them for injury or, you know, trying to get a look at some of these other kids. Now you're going to eliminate two of these preseason games. You might eliminate two more if the Players Association has their ways. What do you think the quality of football is going to be like then for the first two, three, or four NFL regular season games?
Don't you almost feel like the quality of the sports aren't the most important thing right now for the sports?
Apparently not. Because I told you, I think basketball is going
to
be shaky.
I just think the most
on.
Important thing for the sports is to actually play the sport on TV.
Yes, that's all. Just because, get content on there.
Yeah, just play the sport.
Yep.
Because
let's fulfill our rights.
What if you know if Cam Newton's your starter, Tom Brady's out here parading around in Tampa, and you know all of a sudden he gets COVID, he can't make the two. Whatever, we got to move forward. You know, well the quarterback's going to suck. I don't care. We need Monday Night Football. We need Sunday Night Football. We need Thursday Night Football. We need football games. We need the revenue. So it's not necessarily about, you know, the quality of sport. It's just to get the sport going.
I think you're right. I think they're hoping that we'll get them on there. And these people are thirsting for it. They're dying for it. They'll watch anything. We can put anything. We put, you know, fake golf tournaments on there, you know? They were watching NASCAR. We can throw anything on there. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think the quality of the sports, I think you're going to see it with the NBA out of the gate. I think it's going to be very shaky. All right, we got last calls coming up next.
All right, here we go.
On Twitter, at Christian Fourier.
What's up, mother?
Who's been right more than me? Don't answer that.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go. Ahead.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Great time to clean out the garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids now, offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, or online at carsforkids.com. Well, we've all discovered these online Zoom calls can present their challenges. I notice you're doing it every single night when you're on NBC Sports Boston.
Oh, yeah.
So, and there's some challenges every once in a while. Sometimes the audio doesn't match up the video and all these other stuff. So during Kemba Walker's media availability, NBC Sports Boston's Abby Chin apparently was having her own little technical issues.
Abby Chin?
Anytime, Abby.
Lou?
Abby.
Where Abby at?
It's Kemba.
Abby? All right, we'll give that some time. Chris Gasper.
Abby don't want to talk to me.
I'm here. I'm here.
All right, Abby, hey. Go ahead.
I started to get offended, Abby.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, no.
Hey,
oh, no.
Abby?
Abby, unmute.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Unmute.
I got it. You haven't heard anything I've said yet? I've asked you like three questions. Okay.
Okay.
Did she ever
Abby,
get a question?
Please unmute.
Yes, she did. She had three pretty good questions, but it's let's work these bugs out now as opposed to Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe a couple more eyes on it besides Mark Murphy and Chris Gasper.
So she didn't hit the mute button. That's what the problem was,
no,
right? She was on mute the whole
she
time.
She was muted the whole time.
Oh, see, geez. That's going to be the other thing is
I'm here.
The broadcast of all this. Yeah, have you noticed in the last 2 days, the networks have suddenly decided they're going to bring their people, the announcers, down to do the games live down in Orlando in the bubble. They're going to go and stay in the bubble for the entire time.
See, I don't like that because I actually enjoyed moments like.
We'll give that some time. Chris Gasper.
Abby don't want to talk
I'm
to
here.
Me.
I'm here.
All right, Abby, go ahead.
I started to get offended, Abby.
So
thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't think the locals are sending their people down. I think Scale's still back here, I believe.
Oh, you don't think they're going to make Tom Heinsohn go sit
no
in the
bubble? No one's going in that bubble.
No, I didn't think
Nobody.
So.
Nobody. Do it from home.
But they're going to have the network people, apparently. The network announcers are going to go down there and do the game. That's at least what they're saying.
That's it. Hey, how they've bubbled then for that long.
You'd have to stay there the whole time. That's the commitment. You've got to commit. You got to stay there. You can't play the little cheating game where I'm going to take off and, you know, fly here or fly there. You can't do it. Once you're in, you're in. You don't go anywhere. So this morning during the Greg Hill Show, Ken and Fitzy put Wiggy and Mutt, oh, my God, against each other with some 4th of July trivia. They aptly named it Wiggypedia. It went exactly how you'd expect it would go.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting edition of Wiggypedia, America's birthday edition. Please describe the writing of the Declaration of Independence as best you can. Jermaine?
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock
Land it on us. That's my final answer.
All right. Fine answer there, Jermaine. He ceded some time to you, Mudansky.
Our founding fathers of this wonderful country of ours decided to put down the rules and laws we would abide by as we try to separate from England and break free from the tyranny of England. We threw tea in the sea. We wrote down the rules. By these liberties, I declare we live.
But there were already people that were living in America.
And what happened to them?
They were the Native Americans. And what then happened to them? So
they traded us a bunch of stuff.
In arguably the most famous passage of the Declaration of Independence, your certain unalienable rights are what, and what?
Freedom, justice, and liberty for all, right?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
All right.
I need, in 30 seconds, the most you know about hot dogs, from the 4th of July parties to the Coney Island eating contest and why we eat hot dogs on the 4th. Go, Jermaine, you're up first.
All right, I like hot dogs.
What?
Back in the day, dogs would get, really hot.
An important figure, a seminal figure, if you will, in American history and our freedom was Crispus Attucks.
Okay.
Wiggy.
Uh-oh. I know him.
Who is Crispus Attucks?
Well, you got that right, Wiggy.
Okay, fireworks. Why we used them, when they started.
You know, sometimes they use them to distract zombies. Get your ass in the house.
Fine answer, Mr. Wiggins. Mr. Budansky.
Fireworks were developed by Sam Firework, who was the first of the fireworks family.
The American flag.
I think it was only 13 stars to represent the 13 colonies or something like that.
And I believe Betsy Ross.
Yes.
Betsy Ross, did she sew the first American flag? That correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
And then she had a sneaker out.
I need you to tell me about the movie Independence Day.
There was an actually Independence Day sequel made, which the kid that was in... the kid that was in... The president was... what the hell is that guy's name?
Will Smith?
I'm drawing a blank on the president, who the president, what the actor's name, who played him. The guy from...
Jeff Goldblum.
Will Smith, man.
What?
Okay, listen.
You're undefeated, undisputed champion of the Wikipedia world, Jermaine Wiggins.
I bow down.
Did you know about the
General Zod? I bow down.
They sequel.
Oh boy!
Interesting history lesson right there by the two of them. I think Wiggy's right, though. This is where history is going to be learned. I mean, we're rewriting some of it.
I like hot dogs.
That's it.
Will Smith,
the most you know about hot dogs, from the 4th of July parties to the Coney Island eating contest and why we eat hot dogs on the 4th. Go, Jermaine, you're up first.
All right, I like hot dogs.
What?
Back in the day, dogs would get, really hot.
An important figure.
By the way, they are still doing that hot dog eating contest. They're doing it like it's a virtual thing?
Abby!
Are they?
I've heard they're doing it, yes.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that there's 14-1 odds on the next person below Joey Chestnuts.
So how can they get away with that?
To dominate.
All the other sports are shut down.
Because if a competitive eater dies, is it really like that big a deal?
That's a good point.
I'm teasing.
So what are they just like, is he going to be like in his own house with a video on him and they're going to count that way?
I think that's what they're doing.
Everybody's doing it. They could do that.
Sort of like the draft.
Piece of cake. Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, the NFL draft.
You can execute that, no problem.
You can get away with that.
All right.
This hour has been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. So who's on tonight, Ryan?
I've seen Brian Barrett and Rob Bradford skulking the halls.
Boy, Bradford's getting a lot of airtime. You notice that, Lou?
I do.
He's tuckered out at this point.
He is all over.
But you know he'll bring it after six.
It's on the weekends and everything else. All right, so we're off tomorrow. All of us are off tomorrow. What are we playing tomorrow in our place?
I heard it was
the championship game. Red Sox championship
games. I believe the mornings. And stop me if you've heard this. Is Rob Bradford, Andy Hart, and Greg Dickerson is going to be making his return.
Greg Dickerson.
Back. It's been a while, and then we'll have all kinds of Red Sox classics to keep you entertained. Yeah,
all the
Fourth
the championship games, the full World Series, I believe.
All the good ones.
The good ones.
Terrific. So have a happy 4th of July, Lou and Ryan, and everybody else. Christian and Lou will be back next week. I'll be taking a little time off.
MFers,
but you got the MFers next week, and you never know. Maybe some of them will start sounding like Mike Lombardi. You never know. Throw a little F-bomb out there.
Always happens.
Have a happy 4th, guys. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.